Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same and a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the potter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out in a fine pasture. And the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is the hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and the fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fletch because he is the hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of me. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father. And I lay down my life for his sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. Let's read verse 18 again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down it. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandments have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these saying. And many of them said, He hath the devil and is mad. Why hear, O ye, him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost this make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus is speaking here, right? And Jesus is going to be speaking very clear. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your holy word to us this morning. We are thankful that you are the shepherd, the one that cares for our soul, the one that gives us eternal life. We thank you for just these promises set throughout these chapters, Lord, that you know us, that you take care of us, you protect us. Lord, as we take this morning, Lord, we just pray that you will speak clearly to us, like you're giving an example here in your word. Lord, we just pray that you will be magnified today in everything we do in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are to be seated. Okay. Today's title this morning, I'm titling the message, Tulip, Not What You Think. Amen. Tulip, Not What You Think. Just to let you know, I titled that message so there won't be no confusion if you read the part, not what you think, okay? So it's not what it breaks down to be if you went to the internet or to Bible college and other places to get some education. This is a totally different message, so please bear with me. Try to pay attention as closely as we can. That's my disclaimer. But anyhow, the message, tulip, not what you think. And I had broke down the word tulip as a point, so there's a few points here today, starting with T. And I just try to give you the points real quick here. T here is going to be the trust in God.
Amen.
Trust in God. And then you will be use the Word of God. The L will be love and live for God. I is for integrity. And then P, the letter P is for, and I just had a fog real quick here. Excuse me, that's okay. Yes, purpose and focusing on who he is. If you put all those first letter of each word together, you'll spell tulip. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what we're going to learn this morning, is mostly on belief on God. Okay? Trust in God. I have found this quote from somewhere, and it says, no one ever injured their eyesight
by looking on the bright side.
But unknown speaker. And as I thought about that and pondering on it, we understand that most people know that looking directly at the sun, S-U-N, can lead to a permanent eye damage or blindness. We all agree, right? But if you go on, there's an author that was say, fortunately, there's this and this and this and that. Well, I cut all that out, and this is what I wanted to make a statement of as introduction this morning. But looking at the sun, S-O-N, and believe on him, you'll find perfect vision. Today's message, I will deliver to you those 5 points and hope that they will help you to be aware of the need for trusting God. Amen. Diligently using his word as our guide, showing him we love and live for him and want to live for him and to seek the truth through his word with integrity and by knowing his purpose so we can be found faithfully focusing on him and know him as our shepherd. With these 5 ways to know God in a different way from the world, I'm putting this as the point one under that. It would be trust in God. And here's some things that we will see that are things are different. So point one was trust in God. What does trust mean in the King James Bible? The definition I found was the word trust here applies to confidence or security, and it's a concept that is associated with a firmness or something that is solid or secure. According to the Hebrew Greek Study Bible, simply stated, we can put our confidence or security in the Lord because he knows that he can be trusted. We as the people trust in too many things that the world has to offer, too many things that the world views is satisfying to us. When we become unaware of what is harming to us, ourselves, and unaware of the harming of our testimony, it affects the Lord and our Savior. For example, the things that the world pushes, even through the media and through places and things, we may see some of these things that I will mention off here. Like places, drugs, alcohol, the media, people, tobacco or cigarettes, on inappropriate materials, and you guys know what I'm saying by that, and earthly treasures, whatever may fall under those categories. These things, if we trust in these things, we found false hope. We found nothing but problems. These things will draw us away from trusting God. Yes, there's some of these things, like places. There's places that we could find and how we could learn how to trust God. So let's make a positive side of that. Drugs will just lead you on and on and on. But if you quit the drugs, you can find the true hope and stop the drugs completely through Jesus, the alcohol. The media doesn't necessarily need to be used for the devil work. We can use the media to reach the world across many nations for God. We can find the right people who has that faith, that will stand, that won't wither away. Instead of finding inappropriate materials, we can dispose those materials as Christians and trust God for some proper materials. And earthly treasures, my earthly treasure here is the Word of God. Amen. There's a kid's song that we used to sing that some of the lyrics were like, "Oh, be careful, little hands. Oh, be careful, little feet. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." You all probably familiar with that growing up as a child. Let these things be a reminder to us, especially from that list that I gave you today. Think upon these things. Why should we put our full trust and believe in God? First, what is faith? I'm going to show you a very, very basic, and it's a quote from the scriptures. It's simple. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Four reasons why we should and must trust God here. One, because He is our Creator. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And in Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, if you turn there with me real quick, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 1, there's a large word, and it's all capitalized here. And it says, "Remember." And remember reminds me of photos, and things that photos brings back memories. Some people say one photo will bring 1,000 words because there's a story behind like every photo. Here's the photo here that the Creator God is showing us here this morning. As to the youth, and don't matter how old you are in this room, don't matter how old you are in the online audience, you still could be considered the days of thy youth. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure and them." So remember now the Creator. God wants us to remember Him as the Creator. And then we know the familiar passage in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 we see that even from the beginning, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning," in the beginning with God. So we know that God is the Creator here, and we know that He's from the beginning, and we know that His Word is from the beginning. His Word, if you looked at that letters on that spelling that word, is capitalized. It's a person. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Himself from the beginning of time at creation. I hope we can focus on that. We picture of as we can remember God, our Creator, and remember Jesus Himself was from the beginning. This message is from the Lord. Do we hear the call? "My sheep hear my voice." The message abyss is full of love, as we read their text this morning. As has been our memory verses the last couple weeks, have we heard it call? My sheep hear my voice. So he's talking to us. Message was full of love. Then we see that if we are his sheep, he knows us. And life is offered unto you. We as his sheep shall follow our shepherd. I will tell you how I came to Jesus and when he made me whole. I came to Jesus like anybody else did. I said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I have done everything wicked. Save me from my sins. And Jesus died on that cross for those sins once for all. And that's what made me whole. I wanted to read a hymn today that I looked up. The hymn is called Look and Live. It's very familiar amongst us. Mm-hmm. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I live a message full of love. Hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. This is a message from above. Hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah, eternal life. Thy soul shall have, if you'll only look to him, hallelujah. Look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live. My brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. I'll tell you how I came. Hallelujah. To Jesus when he made me whole. That's believing on his name. Hallelujah, I trusted, and he saved my soul.
Yes, sir.
Look and live, my brother. Look and live.
Look to Jesus now and live. Tits is recording his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. By William Ogden. What a wonderful pen that he wrote this hymn. So, we just went over four reasons why we must trust God, because he's our creator. So we hear his call, my sheep hear my voice, the message full of love. If we are his sheep, he knows us. Life is offered unto you. We as a sheep shall follow our shepherd. I will tell you how I came to Jesus when he made me whole. Why? Because in John chapter 10 and verse 27-30 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they followed me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He communicates to us this morning, because we are his sheep.
He provides for us because we are his sheep. Amen. He knows us because we are his sheep. Amen. He guides us. He gives us life. He gives us eternal life. He gives us a path. He gives a path. The world didn't give us that path. He gives us the light to that path. He gives us a lamp, because he is the lamp. He guards us from death and the lake of fire. He holds on to us securely in his hand. He gave us a purpose. God is God. Amen. God is God, and I cannot question that. There's so much that we can try to describe who God is, but he simply just tells us he is God. Let's take a closer look on how we can believe in God by applying these things in our lives. We see that we are being good listeners. By being good readers of God's word. By being faithful to him. By being steadfast. By being a follower, a disciple of him. And we need to be being watchful. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose." And Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Doesn't say the devil will direct thy path. Doesn't say to acknowledge the devil. We do that often. But he warns us in Proverbs chapter 3, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Secondly, today, use his word for our guidelines. We need to use his word for guidelines, because if we do not have guidelines, we will find ourselves in some deep water. We also need to put in that guideline his guidance this morning. If you're looking for guidance today, aren't we all? Here are three ways God's word guides us in our everyday lives. God's word directs our steps. He establishes my footsteps in his word. And Psalms 119 verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity," which is sin, right, "have dominion over me." And it literally is God's plan in Scripture for us. It's a GPS. God's plan in Scripture is to have some guidelines this morning by using his word. Have we ever taken a road trip in the past,
or even a hike through some trails. I know during the COVID time, the state parks were free here in Indiana. My wife and I and the kids got to go on hikes. We don't typically care for hikes, but when you're bored and you already have used all your resources at home and you get out about, you find a trail and you find some challenging and some trails you climb over just twigs, and sometimes you climb over holes, and sometimes you climb them over rocks and cliffs and some paths that you just have to skip and hop over and thinking even back even further, or maybe it was closer to this, we as a church went, some of us went on a couples retreat. And Brother Ramsey could tell you this, Pastor could tell you this. We found some caves down these trails, as well as waterfalls and different things. It was so cool. And we were walking down a trail for a long period of time. And some of these trails, like I said, you might have to have a hard time getting down these trails. They make them not so easy. And here's my wife behind me goes, we need to turn back around. And my focus was straight ahead and on this trail. And that's, by the way, how we need to focus on Christ, right? Is to look forward, looking towards Christ, not turning our way from the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyhow, my wife saw the trail, and due to her health and her elements of her body, was it going to allow her comfortably to finish the trail? And then of course, since we are one because we are married, we are one, that I stayed behind with her. And we did some other activities, and I actually got in my car and I took the easy route and went to the waterfall parking lot and looked down, and I saw Brother William and Tisha playing hopscotch on the rocks, and Pastor and Miss Melissa felt like they were getting swallowed by a big shark or something. It was a cave and different things. So, however, I found that there was an easier trail than these things. But we could take that as, you know, we could be as Christians and we could put trust in different things, and then we can kind of start falling back. Yeah. And we could find things that will put in our way that will trip us up. Right. Like these iniquities, the sin that Jesus is protecting us. He's securing us from being hurt. I'm hoping I'm not going to preach some of my other messages because some of these I like to kind of weave together like a basket. But he is the door. And if you look at the description of a door, if you want to find what's the purpose of a door, you'll find some interesting things online, and you go back to like the ancient days and different history of a door. But the door here was actually God himself in a human form, Jesus. The door of a house wasn't necessarily for the looks. I know some people like a red door, some people like a yellow door, and some people like to put this on their door. And the only thing I know we put on the door was our sins. I remember last year, just a few days ago, was Halloween. I had someone that was trying to barge through my door, very angry. And here I am, in between church, or trying to help one of our members here at the church, and I had to go home to go get the needed item so I could provide that item to this member, and I had my door practically being banged on and screaming at me and trying to be pushed on me to open the door. Here I am, I push in my door, and I take the deadbolt, deadbolt it. I didn't give this person any attention. And I already had my focus on Christ. I already had my focus on I need to get back to church for this meeting. And that door became security for me. I won't mention how many doors I have in my house because that's really nobody's business right now. But I tell you, I got something on top of my door for my security. This meat whisper one day. I named him before we got him. He is not a whisperer, but he will tell you. He will tell you really quick. What in you, Brother Ramsey? He'll meet you at the door. He may greet you, but if there's any sense, those canine teeth are one of the sharpest canines you can possibly probably own. I was told to when the dog gets out. Somebody says, does he bite? And then, you know how kids are or people want to go pet your dog. Does he bite? Somebody told me to say, yeah, he'll tear your face up. Get back. I don't want to find out. But if I give him commands and you're in my home, the smart thing is probably to listen to the commander of that dog, the owner of that dog. Or we will find out we'll find out if he bites. But anyways, so I had some security in my home. I got the main security is the Lord Jesus himself, the door. He is that door. He is that structure in my life. Is he a structure in your life today? He gives himself as his word for us to learn. For we could get that guidance and that protection from whatever comes in our way. By the way, if you go to sleep at night, might do you some good to shut your bedroom door. Why is it? Because it's some protection. And in case you get like a fire in your house, it's supposed to slow down the fire to get to your sleeping quarters. Shut your door from this world.
Amen.
And shine Jesus, the door of our life. So we need some guidance. We need a guidelines through his word to keep us straight and to direct our path. As God said here, that he established my footsteps in his word. Order my steps in thy word. Oh, let not any iniquities have dominion over me. It is literally God's plan, like we said. So get back on this idea of going back to the illustration about taking a road trip or to a hike. If you're with Brother William, Brother Ramsey there, he carries a bag with him majority of the place. And sometimes I try to tell him, hey, leave it in the vehicle. But then sometimes we find out what's in that bag. Knowing Brother Ramsey, he probably have all these things in his bag that I will have listed here. Some of these things will help us and protect us, and some of these things are just like a security of mind to have with us. But one of the things that Brother Ramsey might have in his bag, or that we should as a Christian in our toolbox, per se, when we go on his hike, It's the flashlight. The flashlight. Who's our light? Jesus is our light. Brother Ramsey probably will have a thing in his tool bag there called a string. You say, why would he need a string for? Well, some people will tie a string to a tree and it'll hold the other end. And by the time that string is over, you know what? They know how to get back to where they start out with, wouldn't they? Okay. This one is good for a 41-year-old April 3rd joke. Candles. Candles, birthday candles. I'm sure Mrs. Bray has birthday candles ready for April. But candles. We need a candle for our path that we're going through, a lamp. They use flashlights and candles for a lighting source. Jesus is our light source. A map. Yes, I go to a rest stop still in these days when I travel, and I find me an old paper map. I pack them up. I take them in my car. Sometimes I used to throw them in the glove compartment. Sometimes I just look at the one on the wall, like, oh, there I am. And I would take my finger, I point it, I take a selfie, and I send it to people. And Pastor's way of doing it, he will send you a locator to the water fountain, or to the locator to the waterfalls. So a map in our life, God's map in our lives is having some guidance, right? How about a compass? Do anybody know what a compass is nowadays? My compass is always focused on one direction. Why are you guys all saying south for? God's compass. Here, there is a up and down. My compass is focused only on upward. It's Jesus Christ in my heavenly home. Find Revelation 21:8 and find where the other one is, the other direction is. So there are some tools I see that will help us to find God's word as our guidance and how we can look at his word as we remember some of our objects. Our objects in our toolbox this morning, per se. He is the light. God's word illuminates yours and my path. Illuminates yours and my path. That's what God's word does. Without this, we can't see. If it was dark in here. God's word illuminates. It makes it brighter. If I had a flashlight, I could show you a beam. A light beam. His light is radiant. Meaning, sending out light, shining or glowing brightly. What does it mean if someone is radiant? It simply means happy. Are you happy this morning? Are you radiant this morning? It was an adjective word, and it's someone who is radiant is so happy that the happiness shows in their face.
The Spirit of God shines a light to us so that we can find answers. He illuminates, makes it shine and clear for our understanding. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 10 through 16, but God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. No, we have received not a spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. I love Pastor's message a couple weeks ago when he used the words from God. Here we are again. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. The Spirit is with of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things are also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We need to apply the light this morning. The Word of God, it is the true light, it is illuminated for us. Give me 1 second, please. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy Word, I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. With thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my path. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm sorry. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 119, verse 105. God's word makes you wise. His path is made so clear and simple. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. He provides us all these things, folks, unto all good works. We love him because he first loved us. We need to find some joy in our life.
So I see we come to point three this morning. Love him and love his word. And Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18 says, Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Ladies, you need to find wisdom and getteth understanding too. This is for everybody, okay? For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Hers is the wisdom here, okay? Length of days in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and is all her paths of peace. Those paths we talked about today, are they with peace? She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Luke chapter 21 and verse 15 says, For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. With all that, it brings me down to integrity. What's integrity? The truth. Jesus is the truth. We need to be in compliance with God's word. We need to be in compliance with the truth of God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, having good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accused your good conversation in Christ. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I'm going to move right along. Point 5. We're almost done. Purpose with focusing on who he is. And Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 this morning, we read, says, Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 and through 14 said, Brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're not going to focus on these things before we are saved. If we focus on them, we can backtrail into some of them. We could set ourselves into a trap. The devil loves it when we follow his trap, get in his trap. Jesus is the door. He is the security of that. He'll keep us from those traps of Satan. If we focus on him, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah chapter 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for
For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord whose name is jealous, a jealous God. Where's our focus at? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to thy or to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which had given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I don't know if I ever preach. Very few messages without this very particular verse. I usually tie it in every single message somehow, some way, some form. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our security this morning. Amen. That's where we should put our faith at this morning. Tulips are pretty to the eyes, it smells good, and it illuminates God's creation as beautifully made. We could be like those tulips, beautifully made, an image, a photo of God's work, and a testimony of Christ through you. What are you going to do with it this morning? These 5 points I've given to you today, I hope they will help you, and that you will be aware of the need for trusting God, diligently using His Word as the guide and guidance, showing Him we love Him and want to live for Him, and seek the truth through His Word and integrity, and by knowing His purpose, so we can be found faithfully focusing on Him and know our shepherd. As side notes I have here, I'm going to just read these here. But it's 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light. He brought our sins and showed light to them by dying on the cross for our sins. He will once and for all, and has already has, died for your sins. He already died for your sins. There's no more. He had died for your sins. He had brought light. He brought that light that saved those sins. Without that light, you're stuck in the dark. You're stuck for eternity on a lake of fire. What are you going to do with that today? Acts 11:26. And when
he had found him. He brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass, what a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and it taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I just wanted to say this too. If we are born again, we are Christians. And as we are Christians, we are called to be his disciples, right? We were not literally his disciples from back in time, but we are his disciples nowadays. We are Christ-like followers with be those people. If we accept Jesus Christ in our heart, we want to shine him to other people.